Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. Kant starts out the groundwork of the metaphysics of morals by saying that there's only one thing in the universe that we can say is genuinely, always, completely good, and that is the goodwill. The way he actually puts it is a little bit funny because he says there's one good thing without qualification is how we've typically translated it. And that by itself is already, in a way, a qualification. You're qualifying, you know, precisely how it's good. But he says there's only one good thing without qualification in the entire universe, and that is the goodwill, not necessarily the human will, but any rational will that's good. And he says it's impossible to conceive anything at all in the world, or even out of it, which can be taken as good without qualification except a goodwill. So it's not just that that's the only thing we encounter. He's saying that this is the only thing we could actually conceive of. And that might throw you for a loop because you can think of a lot of good things. And so you might say to yourself, well, you know, what about wealth? People pursue wealth. Or what about honor? What about virtue? What about all these other candidates for the good? What about pleasure? What about peace of mind? All those sorts of things. So Kant is not saying that we can't ever think of other things and understand them to be good. He's saying if we completely think it through from his perspective, the only thing that then we can conceive of as being truly good is the goodwill. So how can this be? Well, he looks at a number of different candidates at the beginning, another bunch of other possibilities for what could be good, and he says why they're not actually the good. So talents of mind. What do we mean by this? He gives you a few examples. Wit is among them. By wit, he doesn't mean just being witty, being funny, or anything like that, but being able to connect things together. Intelligence, being able to think things through, being able to draw conclusions, being able to reflect on things. Judgment, the capacity to judge well when it comes to difficult matters. Those are good things, but like he says, these can be extremely bad and hurtful when the will is not good, which is going to make use of these. So that's a really central thing. The will itself is what decides to make use of these. It decides what's going to happen with them. So great intelligence, for example, can be used for evil as well as for good. Wit, even in the sense of humor, can be used to bring a community together. It can be used to tear people down. Judgment, figuring out precisely the right place to hit the person so as to cause the greatest pain, that could be a matter of judgment, but that doesn't sound like something that we'd say is, you know, representative of the goodwill. That's more like something a sadist would do, isn't it? So talents of mind are not going to be the ultimate good or the primal good. What about qualities of temperament? When we talk about somebody's character, their personality, the way that they are. Kant has some examples of these. He says, for example, courage, resolution, constancy of purpose. These are all three related to each other, by the way. Courage is the capacity to stand up for the difficult good, as Thomas put it, or in the face of fear, as Aristotle thought about it. And Kant has something similar in mind. Constancy of purpose, once you've actually decided on something, sticking to it, what we call perseverance. Resolution, being able to actually set yourself upon something. And you notice those are not only qualities of one's temperament. Some people have them more, some people have them less. But those are things that we can develop. And those are things that we would attribute to somebody's will. You know, perseverance is something of the will. But by themselves, these things, again, if the will is not good, they can be used for harm, for bad. So the bank robber who has great courage and executes some daring feats, you know, breaking into the vault, shooting up a bunch of police, making everything go until the last minute, we wouldn't say that person's good in any sort of unqualified sense. So that's not going to be the ultimate good. What about gifts of fortune? Here we're getting to external goods, things that, well, and also some of the body, things that people just happen to have if they're lucky, and then they get taken away, or they don't have them if they're unlucky. So, you know, what would be examples of these? Power, wealth, honor, even health. And then Kant says that complete well-being and contentment with one state that goes by the name of happiness. These he sees all as sort of, well, you get them or you don't get them. It's kind of luck of the draw. You can work to some degree to have them, but some people are healthier, some people are less healthy. Whether you're happy or not depends on a lot of different things coming together. That's not the good either for Kant. Why not? He says, well, if you don't have a good will, these things are actually liable to spoil you. They're liable to make you identify with the good things that you have and to think that they're somehow, you know, about you or connected with you, and you're liable to, you know, become in some ways prideful about them if you don't have a good will. The other thing that goes along with it, he says, is a rational and impartial spectator can never feel approval in contemplating the uninterrupted prosperity of a being graced by no touch of a pure and good will. So somebody who, for instance, is wealthy, but they're a bad person, an impartial observer will look at that and they're not going to be happy about that. And Kant thinks that that intuition there is something to pay attention to. What about some things that might be a little bit closer? What he calls qualities that are helpful to the goodwill. They make its task very much easier. He says, they have nonetheless no inner unconditioned worth, but rather presuppose a goodwill, which sets a limit to the esteem in which they're rightly held and does not permit us to regard them as absolutely good. So even those are not going to be unqualifiedly good, even though they allow the goodwill to do its work better. What are some examples of these? Well, some of the things that we look at as being either the virtues or something like the virtues. So moderation in affections and passions, moderation in dealing with our desires, our emotions, being able to set certain limits upon ourselves, to keep ourselves within those limits. Self-control, that's another one that he brings up. Sober reflection doesn't necessarily mean sober in terms of drinking, but sober in the sense of being in one's full mind and having this practice of thinking things through. And he says these may actually seem to constitute part of the inner worth of a person. So there, as opposed to some of these things, we're actually getting very close to what makes a person a good person, but not all the way there. Those are not the goodwill either. The goodwill is what has to be motivating, embodied within, directing all of these other things. So what does that leave us? Well, let's think now. Here's the second question we have to ask. What makes that will good? What are some possibilities? What are some candidates for that? And if we're looking at other moral theories, one of the things that we would think of right off the bat would be what we call effects or consequences. A goodwill is one that leads to good, beneficial, happiness-producing effects, either for oneself or for other people. This is what utilitarianism would say. This is what hedonism would say, what egoism would say. Even, you know, to a certain extent, virtue ethics is willing to say that consequences matter. So, could it be that? Kant says, no, it's not good because of what it affects or accomplishes. So it's not the action and its effects that the will leads to that make it good. That would be to measure the will by something else. Instead, you want to look at the will directly. He says, its fitness for attaining some proposed end, that's not going to work. What makes this will good? It is good through its willing alone, that is good in itself. And then he's got some sort of laudatory language here, you know, it's esteemed beyond comparison and all that. But you want to think about this for a moment. Even if the will to do something that's good, is ineffectual, it's not able to bring about what it is that the person is willing to do, that's a good volition, that's a good willing. That person's will is good in that respect. What makes that will good? So if it's not what it brings about, which is the consequences of the action, actually let's sort of chart this out. We have consequences, we have effects, what leads us there, the action itself, and what produces the action. Willing something leads to the action, hopefully, unless something goes wrong, which leads to the effects and consequences. Kant is saying we're not going to look at this, and we're not even necessarily looking at this so much. We're looking at this, the willing itself. What are you willing? You're choosing how to use your own freedom in relation to a world in which you exist, your desires, and you're choosing, when you're choosing an action, you're not just choosing one specific thing to do that leads to real consequences. You're choosing, you might say, genre of action, the type of action. That's what you're actually willing as such. And that's what's making the will good, in part. There's one other thing that's going to come in here. What's missing here? Well, your motive. And, you know, your motive could be aiming at some sort of effect. In that case, that's not going to make the will good by itself. The motive can permeate the willing, the act of willing itself, and the type of action that it is. One can will something like, I want to do the sort of thing that a person with a good will would do. And that is leading us to the very end of this, because we'll go into other core concepts where we deal with that. What is that? What motive is it that leads us to will the right thing for the right reason? It's to fulfill what Kant is going to call, as many other people have, duty. Duty for its own sake. Willing duty for the sake of willing duty, not for some other motive, not to bring about some sort of effect necessarily, but because it is and it embodies the right thing, that's what conditions, that's what reveals to us the goodwill.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.